Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. The law office is open. And if you have a legal question, I'm here to help you this morning. All you have to do is to dial the toll-free number. I'll give you that in a minute. But I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney, host of Ask an Attorney for over 35 years now. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is dial the toll-free number. Hey, your question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates. Can be about family law. Can be just about any area of law. I come in just to help you answer your questions. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Again, the law office is open. You can call and ask any question at all. If I know the answer, I'll be glad to share it with you. Once in a while, I get a question that's not in my practice area or something that I don't have experience or knowledge of, and I certainly let you know that immediately. Hey, we're broadcasting today on 570, 910, 860, 930. Those stations come out of Tampa. Some of those have an FM component also. Also, you can listen on WBOB. That's in Jacksonville station. We have an office there. We'll be up there sometime for a few days in the remaining part of the year. Also, the Sun Cities Community Station, 96.3 FM, carries the program. There's the Crystal River station, community station there, carries the program. 90.3 FM out of Haines City, Florida, carries the program. We're on multiple stations around the state of Florida that carry the program. It's a live show where you can call in and ask your legal questions. All you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Let's go to our first caller. It's Joe in Tampa. Hey, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
How are you?
Good. I'm good. I got a question for you. My girlfriend has an unpaid credit card debt of $2,000, and a process server was at the house. I want to help her out and avoid court garnishments. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know if I can start sending them a check to the collection agency by certified mail, and would that avoid the court proceedings?
No, that wouldn't stop the court proceedings unless you work out a deal with the credit card company or the collection agency.
Okay, so then?
It's also possible they won't accept your check on her bill. So why wouldn't you, to avoid that possibility, you could put money in her checking account, get her to write a check herself, and then her give you the check, and then you can mail it if you want to make sure that your money goes toward paying that debt. That'd be one way to do
yes.
it. So you put money in her account, get her to write a check right away, get her to give you the check, you mail it to the credit card company with the payment. You could draft a little note saying, I will make this payment, you know, monthly. Please allow me to pay off this debt monthly. I will give you a check for so-and-so per month and mail it to you. You could talk. So the collection agent, you haven't had contact with an attorney, just a debt collector?
No attorneys, no.
Okay. Well, you can call them and work out a payment plan.
Okay.
You can try to do that.
Will they charge you for court proceedings with the process server and that?
Well, they could
pay for all that.
Well, maybe not just a process server, but if they went to court, you'd probably be liable for attorney fees and legal fees.
Yeah, we're like a couple weeks before that. That's why I want to jump on this quick.
Yeah, we'll try to coordinate with him a payment plan.
Okay, and can they still charge you interest in that? Can you negotiate an amount?
You can try to negotiate anything.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go to Paul in Orange Park, which is in the Jacksonville area. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Joe. To you, your family, your fine staff, a very, very merry Christmas and a blessed, healthy, prosperous, and good new year. Your show is 5-star. I'm an elderly person. I know at least 300 people in my neighborhood that listen to you every Saturday, but your staff and you are 5.5 stars, so give yourself and your staff a raise.
All right, Paul. We're gonna add you to the best of list of calls.
Fantastic.
Whenever I get five stars, we'll get the best of.
I have a question. Coming up in early January in my small town, I want to endow from my trust fund and my life insurance policies, which are very, very large amounts. $1 million towards a museum for our mm-hmm. small town. Mm-hmm. I just heard about the Charleston Museum up there that they're doing. They have $100 million raised for that. Of course, we're a lot smaller. But anyway, fast forward. What's the best way for me to do that? I have a trust attorney. She's not aware of what I want to do with this. This just came up this morning. I said, you know what? I want to make this happen, whether I'm alive or past. What's the best way for me to do this? I'm going to pledge it at a meeting in January, what do you recommend? Because you're the legal expert of the world, and I believe that.
Well, I think what you should probably do is to meet with your attorney. If your attorney's experienced in that type of work, that would be fairly easy. I think you have some options. One of the options would be to create your own foundation.
Okay.
Fund it, and then give instructions on how that money would be distributed out of the foundation. It could be distributed while you're living, and it could be distributed after you pass away.
Fantastic.
So...
And I'm going to ask her if there's some way I can put Joe Pippin and Associates in there somewhere. Because, y'all, I'll tell you what, the questions people ask, a lot of times I don't have to call because you're answering the question I have. And talk at the coffee shop is your 5.5-star, man. I worked for a 4-star general a long time ago when he was a colonel, and I stayed with him through the years. And you're a cream of the crop, and I mean that politely, respectfully. I don't want to take up your time, but... Happy New Year.
All right, Paul, thank you so much. Hope to get to meet you one day. So thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you would like to call our show, 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. You know, talking about, and phone lines are open, be glad to talk to you today. Please give us a call, 877-943-9673. So, charitable giving is a good thing to do. I was a little bit involved in a client that had wanted to do a charitable trust, and there wound up being substantial tax advantages to doing that. So, and the person could be their own trustee of a charitable trust. You just name the charity, make a gift to the charity, and it's fairly easy to do to get substantial tax deductions, you know, off of your income. And charitable trusts have always been a good thing. You can get rid of the cost basis, the capital gains tax, to some degree. So highly appreciated stocks, and there seem to be a lot of those. I mean, the market keeps going up every day, it seems. You can transfer some of those to a charitable trust to get substantial benefits. Let's go to Carol in Jacksonville.
Thank you for taking my call. My neighbor passed away about a week ago, and she didn't have a will, and she told me she didn't have any family. But then later I found out that she had a son that she gave up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I found this family. So I'm wondering what they need to do. She did not have, I don't know anything about her finances, but she did not have a lot of, you know, household items or anything. But do they
Did she have a checking, savings, money market account or anything like that?
No, she didn't have anything like that. She lived very frugally, and she lived in subsidized housing.
Well, and an adopted son, you know, is not part of her family anymore.
And well, he's deceased, but he has three children who would be her grandchildren.
Well, not technically if he was adopted out.
Okay.
So if he was adopted out, I mean, they might be her biological grandchildren, but not her legal grandchildren.
Okay. So what about cousins or...
Yeah, the without a will, of course, it doesn't sound like there's anything to be in the will. Did she own her own home?
No, she lived in subsidized housing.
Okay. So basically it's just her personal things?
Yes, I just would like... to see some, because, you know, what happens to her body? I mean, you know, I thought maybe some family could do something.
Yeah, the closest related person, which at this point, if he was the son was adopted out, there would not be that set of grandchildren, would be nieces, nephews. If she has a niece or a nephew, the closest one could petition the court to be with the consent of all the other close beneficiaries could petition the court to be appointed the personal representative of the estate, and then they be in charge of the personal things and given the instructions on what to tell the funeral home.
I see. Okay. So they don't live in the area? I mean, a lot of them, so...
No, if it's a niece or a nephew, they can live anywhere.
Okay. All righty. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open, 877-943-9673. If you have a legal question, I'd be more than glad to try to help you in any way I can. All you have to do is to dial the number. So that question reminded me of a situation I'm currently in with a client. Client had to go to the hospital this week. I happen to be, in this particular case, the client's personal representative, trustee, and power of attorney. She had instructions that not to omit her daughter. She had no contact with the daughter for a long time, and the daughter was basically omitted from the documents. And the instructions I have are not to contact the daughter in any way upon her death or incapacity. I've written instructions to that effect. Well, last night we had our office get together, office party, and I get a phone call that I didn't take in the car. And when I got to where we were going for the office party, I heard the voicemail, and lo and behold, it's the daughter. Wanting to know. Now, mother's in the hospital. The hospital placed mother in. They called me and said they needed to discharge her and place her in one of three places. And did they have my consent as her power of attorney to do that? And I said, yes. Any one of those would be fine. And as of this morning, I don't really know where she is and which one of those places yet. I guess I'll find out soon after the show ends today. It's probably on my phone. So the daughter is calling me wanting to know where they heard mother was sick and wanted to know where mother is. So that puts me in a little bit of a dilemma because I'm not supposed to have any contact with the daughter or share with the daughter any information, and the daughter definitely doesn't receive anything as a beneficiary. So sometimes you really get into these tough, tough circumstances that deal with family members. So you really have to decide for the most part what's best for your client to do, and really in this case it's really would not be proper for me to share any details at all to daughter about mother. So I guess we'll shift through that and see what I decide to do a little bit later on as I talk to everybody. Let's go to Sandra in Tampa. Hey, Sandra.
Hi. I owned a house with my deceased ex-husband. Does that mean that I now automatically own half of the property and the other half is in my children's names?
Okay, so you said deceased ex-husband.
Right.
So he owns half, his estate owns half, and you own half.
Right. That's been probated, and now it's in my children's names.
Okay.
That was my question, but does that mean that I automatically own half of the property?
Yeah, well, if you owned half anyway, or you owned it jointly, the divorce would make it 50-50. Because even if the deed said jointly between you and him with right of survivorship, that right of survivorship upon divorce made it tenants in common, which means you own half outright and his estate owned half. So if his estate's been probated, then that half went to his children, so now you're co-owners with the children.
Okay. The other half is now listed on the children's deed as tenants in common by my two adult children.
Right.
Does that mean that there are now two deeds on this property?
No, there's just one deed with two owners.
One deed with two owners, okay. One of my children lives in the house. Can the other child simply quit claim his ownership to this other sibling, or is it more complicated than that?
No, that would work.
And may I simply quit claim my half of the interest in my property to the child who lives on the property?
You could. You don't live there yourself?
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, you got to be careful, though, because the deed, a quit claim deed is a gift. And so the property should be appraised to put a value on it. And the value of the gift has to be reported on a 709 gift tax IRS form. And that would establish a gift. If the gift value is more than $15,000, then you have to file a gift tax return. There would not be a tax if you elect not to pay the tax and use up part of your lifetime exemption. And your lifetime exemption is $11.4 million.
Okay. Now, that would implicate me as far as being eligible for the Medicaid, right?
Yes. Yeah, that would be a Medicaid implication to your gift if you did that.
For 5 years. Okay. And my deed didn't say anything about joint survivors or whatever.
Well, did the deed just say your name, his name, husband and
That's
wife?
It. Yes.
Okay. Well, husband and wife means tenants by the entirety on that deed. So
automatic.
Upon the divorce, that became tenants in common automatically.
So I'm also tenants in common.
Yes, you have an undivided one-half interest in the house, and your two kids have one undivided one-half interest.
But there would be no problem with me quit claiming it over to my son.
Except it would be a gift.
It would be a gift. Okay, well, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, we're open just for you. If you have a legal question, why worry about it? Why not have a little peace of mind? You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Law office is open. If you have a question, I'd be more than glad to try to help you. That's what I come here for on Saturday mornings. It's just to help as many people as I possibly can. We're almost halfway through the show. Again, the number is 877-943-9673. Next week, I'll probably be doing part of the show will be getting you to think about your New Year's resolutions. And, yep, it's that time of the year. And a lot of times people make getting their assets in order, getting everything in order, getting organized, getting documents updated, getting documents reviewed. We've created a little list that I'll start making available next week, I guess, on what your New Year's resolution should be regarding estate planning. And, yeah, everyone should at least update power of attorneys and living wills and health care circuits about every 3 years, 3 to 4 years that we recommend. The problem is banks and financial institutions don't honor them, or they choose not to honor them after certain time periods roll by. And they all seem to have their own list of rules. They're all kind of different sometimes. One of the banks I remember had like a six-month rule, which I thought was just outrageous. They wouldn't accept a power of attorney if it was more than 6 months old. Most will accept them. Sometimes it becomes a hassle if they're 3 or 4 years old and trying to force them to accept it. So it's usually better to have just an updated document. Let's go to Juan in Tampa. Hey, Juan.
Yeah, I was hoping to call your office in private. That's a guy with a number, I guess.
What now? Say that again. He's going to call back because he was driving. I think that's what he said, but now he's off the air, so I guess we might hear from him a little bit later. You have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Denise in Crystal River. Hey, Denise.
Hi. I'd like to know if I have a residency with a boyfriend, what happens if he passes away? Do I have to leave?
Okay, so you're staying in his house?
With him.
And the house is titled just in his name?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, yes, you could possibly have to leave because you're not the owner of the house. So his who are his heirs? Is it his children?
Probably, yes.
Are they adults?
Yes.
Does he have a will? Your husband, your boyfriend have a will?
That I don't know.
Well, let's assume that he, well, either way, how many children does he have?
Three.
And I assume that he's not married?
They're divorced.
Divorced, okay. So his three children would, if he doesn't have a will, the state of Florida makes a will for him, a statutory will.
Mm-hmm.
If he does have a will, and let's say he leaves everything to the three children, then yeah, the one that's nominated the personal representative could force you to leave the property.
Okay.
If he wants you to... Here's the plan for you, though. If he wants you to be able to live there, he could have an estate planning document prepared that says, I want Denise to be able to live in this house for, you know, X number of months or years,
mm-hmm.
and he could give you the right to stay there in a legal document.
Okay.
But absent him doing that, you could be forced to leave. So if he would like to provide a place for you to live for a period of time, a document definitely can be prepared that can do that.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. And if you have a legal question, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. See, that question was, what happens if my boyfriend who owns the house dies? Can they force me to leave? Well, the answer, I could have just given the answer. The answer is yes, they can. But thinking that her a solution to her situation, because I'm sure she probably doesn't want to leave immediately anyway, the solution would be to create an estate planning document that allows her to stay for a while. And if he wanted her to have the house outright, then, hey, he could leave it to her. He could give her a life estate, the right to live there for life. He could do, their estate planning can accomplish whatever problem you think about when someone is going to die that you depend upon. That person can take care of whatever need you have that they want to take care of in an estate planning document. If they die without a will, then yeah, kids will probably want to sell the house and get her out as soon as possible. But there's other ways that the boyfriend could do in this case to take care of things. All right, let's go to Gary in Lakeland.
Yes. I was calling in reference to, I guess it's called free speech. If you are out there ministering in the street,
mm-hmm.
and say you have a manger, is there a place where you could be turned away or required to leave the premises if it's on public land?
It's possible. It's possible you could be required to leave if it's on public. You know, you might have to have a permit. It depends on the city. You might have to have a permit. There might be an ordinance against it, or an ordinance that allows it in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
Since you said you were a minister and you mentioned manger, there's a legal group that I could refer you to if you want to contact me off the air that fights for people's rights to do exactly what you're asking for. The attorney's name is David Gibbs, by the way. But I can give you his contact information. He's built his whole career on... And also, he was involved in the Terry Schiavo case to some degree. But he's a Christian. It's a Christian organization fighting for Christian rights. And I could, if you want to contact me, I'll be glad to put you in contact with Mr. Gibbs there.
David Gibbs. Well, I was going to ask you one more thing. If they... try to, you know, trespass you for a certain amount of time from the county. How long are you trespassed? Is that?
Well,
yeah,
they could get an injunction to keep you off the property. It just depends. And if you're going to get one ticket, you don't want to repeat getting the same problem over and over. Mr. Gibbs can fight for your rights if you're entitled to be there. So that's what I recommend you do is talk to him. So if you want to contact me, I'll be glad to give you his information. Gary, thanks for calling. For calling. That's if you contact
all
right, me, I okay. Thank you. All right, let's go to Kay in Bradenton. Kay in Bradenton.
Hi. Hey. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Pippin.
My pleasure. What can I do for you?
My mom passed away, and she has her house in a trust. And there's seven children. But she has it in there that I am to stay in the house until either I die or decide that I don't want to live here anymore. And then we're to sell it and split the, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I got the property taxes for that, but until then, I'm to take care of everything for the home. I got the property taxes, and I didn't know if I needed to take a death certificate up to, not even sure where to go, to the tax office.
Has your mom's, I'm sorry about your mom, has the will been filed?
Yeah.
Yes?
Has will been filed. Okay, what does that mean?
She had a last will and testament that went along with the trust, correct?
Okay, yes.
Do you have possession of that last will?
I do.
Okay, the last will and testament should be filed with the probate court.
Okay, that's what I called probate, and they told me I needed to see a lawyer. They didn't know what I was to do. File the will with the probate. Okay.
And then the death certificate should also be filed with the court. And the death certificate, the trustee, who's the trustee of the trust?
My sister and I.
Okay. Well, probably the property should be deeded out of the trust, giving you a life estate, the right to live there for life. Did I do this trust or someone else?
Someone else did.
All right, yeah. So either go back to that person who created the trust,
uh-huh.
or have another attorney look at it. It depends on probably the language in the trust, whether a new deed should be done giving you a life estate or whether that can just happen in the trust document itself.
Okay.
Yeah, so you definitely need to visit with an attorney there. You probably should file a trust notice as well with the court. There's some things that need to be done to get everything squared up.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So until then, with the taxes here, because I have to pay the taxes, do I just go ahead and pay them?
Yes. Well, if the trust says you have a life estate, then you're required to pay taxes, upkeep, maintenance.
Okay. I didn't know if I needed to
But the death certificate should be filed with the courthouse as well, though.
Before I do that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go to Edward. And, you know, let me... Let me just say, if Kay is still listening, probably should file the death certificate and get her to apply for the homestead exemption before December 31st would be the best thing. Okay, Edward, what can I do for you?
Okay, so my wife decided to leave the business we had 7 months ago, the house. She's not contributing a penny to the house, the business. She's not running. Send me a text message. Do whatever the blank you want to do with the house and the business. I'm gone. I don't want to be no part of it. Somebody told me that I could do a quick claim for the deed to get her off the deed, but the house is being financed in both our names.
Mm-hmm. Well.
We're heading for divorce, too.
All right, what's the question?
We're heading for divorce.
Yeah, I understand. I would not encourage anyone to get divorced. But if you do get divorced, part of the divorce proceeding would be a division of the assets. So getting her name off the deed doesn't relieve her from the liability of the mortgage, so that would kind of be foolish for her to give you a quitclaim deed. Plus, she'd still have a spousal right if you're still married. The business, is that incorporated?
Yes.
She could sign over her corporate shares to you. I mean, that would work. Signing over the house and just signing the quitclaim deed is not going to really work as long as you're married. And it'd be foolish for her to do that without a court order that you're divorced and that she's agreed to give you the house. That's going to make
it
easy.
She's really not giving me the house. I'm making full mortgage payments. I'm paying like $6,000 a month for business and mortgage.
Yeah, but she is giving you the house, even though it might be underwater. Or not worth what you have to pay for it. She is voluntarily coming off. And, you know, if you have a family law attorney look at all this, it might not be wise for you to agree to and give her the house. It might be better to, is the house going to sell? Is there any equity in the house?
very, very little equity. We've been there maybe 4 years. Well, going in 4 years this February.
Would the mortgage company allow you, do you think, does she have income on her own?
She just started at full time for the first time in 21 years.
So would the bank, you think, allow you to have the mortgage would they release her and give you the mortgage just in your name?
I believe they wanted a court order.
Yeah.
That she was...
you're going to need a court order. I could, if you want to contact me, I could refer an attorney to you to help you through all this.
Okay. The other question I had, somebody brought this up, and I've been so busy, I keep forgetting to Google it. This woman told me that I needed to get divorced from her as soon as possible. She said, if your wife goes and borrows $50,000, $100,000. She said, as her husband, that I'm viable, which I don't think I am, but what do you think?
Well, I think it's possible. So what happens is when you get divorced, the court looks at the whole picture and makes decisions. So you can't like cherry pick one question in a divorce and know exactly what's going to happen without the court. See, you both have to file inventories. You both have to create inventories of assets. You both have to disclose all of the income and so forth. And then how long have you been married?
Sadly, 21 years.
Okay, so after 17
years. And I say because she married me under false pretenses. And then she came out and said, you know, I married you for basically for money.
Yeah. So basically been married 21 years. But so basically that's going to mean there's a 50-50 split. And basically, if she goes to get a big loan now, you'd have to have an attorney argue that that should be totally her responsibility and see how that works out, along with all the other things going on with the divorce.
But,
Hey, Edward, I can give you a name of a divorce. You're going to need to sit down with a divorce attorney for more time than I can give you here on the radio. If you want to contact me, I'll be glad to refer one to you.
Okay.
Great. All right. All right. Thanks. Let's go to Joe in Clearwater.
Hello, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Joe, I have a question or two regarding a condemnation suit that I will be fighting in 2020. And my question pertains more to just value of the property. And I currently have a...
Hey, before you get too deep into this question, I've never had a condemnation case, so I don't really feel qualified to give you a good answer. One of my other attorneys in the firm deals with matters more along those lines than I do, although I'm not sure he's had a case exactly like that either. But he might know someone that could help you if he can't. So if you'd like to call my office, we'd be glad to try to refer you to someone that can help you.
Great, I'll do that. Thanks for your time.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you'd like to contact our phone lines are open, by the way. We have 12 minutes left in the show. And the phone line you can call the show is 877-943-9673. We're also broadcasting live streaming on WeBeam TV. We do that every other week, and glad to do so. And if you like to just WeBeam TV, they have a host of other programs. Also, we have our own YouTube channel. We're also broadcasting live on Facebook Live. So there are lots of ways you can either listen to or watch Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you'd like to call the show, again, we have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we are more than glad to be here. Let's go to Renee and Brandon. Hey, Renee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling for my mom, actually. She's had a stroke, and she's mostly blind, but she has... She lives on her property that is 10 acres and has a couple of adult children that also live on the property. But she wants to know about how she goes about with the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something she's really not able to move? You know, she hasn't been out of the house since her stroke. So is it something she can verbally do, or how does that work?
Well, I deal with clients like this. Some, and what generally we do, I mean, there are other options. We can interview her on the phone, send her sample documents to look at after we get the information we need to create the document, and then we can arrange for either myself or one of my other employees to come there to be a notary and get the documents finalized.
Okay, and if she can't sign her name anymore, she can... make her ex as long as it's witnessed, or is that how that works?
Well, if she's competent to know what she's signing,
right?
She could put an ex there.
Okay.
And sometimes people are competent to know what they're signing and can't physically write, so basically I'll hold them, hold their hand and help them do an X.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that's her case right there. So, also, she doesn't, does she have to name one of the children that she wants to do on the trust? I think she's worried about that her homeowners are having her exempt, her widow's exemption or whatever she has on the property is going to change if she does a on the trust. It's the not a power of attorney. It's the
Well, no, she can create a trust, and she can put the 10 acres in a trust. That's not going to affect the widow's exemption or the homestead rights.
Okay, and she leaves that. She puts one person to the trust, right?
She can make one person either a co-trustee with her, perhaps, or a successor trustee.
Okay, I really appreciate your time, and thank you so much.
All right, and we do. I have an office fairly close to there. I have an office in Sun City Center, so we're...
Okay, yes, I had a business there for 20 years.
Thank you. Yeah, we come up and down 75 there all the time, and I have offices in Lakeland and Sun City Center, so I'm traveling between those two offices all the time, so
okay,
you're kind of in the middle.
Do you have your address in Sun City?
It's right on the main drag there, right on the main street. It's in right next door to the Chamber of Commerce, since you had an office there.
Okay,
it's in the Payant Wealth Center there.
Okay, oh, yes, I know exactly where that's at.
Yeah, I'm inside that building there.
Okay, we really appreciate your time.
All right, and I'll give out my phone number here for everyone there in just a second if you want to call the office to arrange something like that.
Okay, when I go to Mom's... when I go to Mom's, and I can call you for her, and I can hand her the phone, and you can talk to her, ask her the questions you need. Is that how that can work?
Yeah, that would be great. But okay. You probably need to call first and make a phone appointment.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. I'll do that then.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Heaven.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you'd like to contact our office, we have a free estate planning poster sheet we'd love to mail to you. You could also ask for the New Year's resolution sheet if you like. Or if you want to get both of those and or maybe you just want to call and make an appointment for review of documents, there's no charge. Or just have a first appointment to discuss your options and maybe get something started. There's no charge for that first appointment. The toll-free number for the office is 1-800 226-3529. Toll-free office with the number 1-800-226-3529. And let's go to Bill. Bill's calling from Michigan. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Joe. I listen to your show every Saturday. I set my clock and get up for it.
Wow, you listen on your computer or smartphone or what?
On my phone, on my computer, wherever I can get you. I love this kind of a show.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, I'm a snowbird. I'm 70, a widower, no parents, no children, no siblings, and no real estate. I got a trust drafted in 2014, which probably should be updated.
Mm-hmm.
I have 10 beneficiaries, 10% each, which I want to change.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my beneficiaries had a stroke, and so part of my updating is I want to find some people that are younger to do this because I just think it's the right way to go.
Well, trust can easily be amended.
I understand that, yeah. Can a northerner have a trust drafted in Florida is my question. I don't plan on being a Florida resident yet, or maybe never.
Well, the answer is yes, and I do that all the time for people, but I do that at least the first time they need to be physically in my presence to get the document started and signed.
Oh, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. But then thereafter, you could probably do amendments, not having to come to Florida.
How often?
But anybody in Michigan, I don't know why they're down in Florida anyway for a few months this time of year.
Well, next week I'll be down there for 6 months. So.
All right, there you go. Yeah, you said you were a snowbird. Yeah. No, I have lots of snowbird clients, believe it or not. So
it's not that different? Michigan trust or a Florida trust the rules?
No, my document for you would say you are a Michigan resident, but you're now currently residing in Florida, and we'd have the trust governed by Florida law. And then you can create a trust anywhere, or you can create a corporation anywhere. It could be formed anywhere, governed by the laws of that state. Florida has very advantageous laws for estate planning documents. There's no gift tax, no state tax. But where you are a resident of would kind of control if there's an estate tax. And I don't know if the state of Michigan has a tax or not. But, yeah, I do documents all the time for out of state people down in Florida. In fact, I have some people tell me in, like, New Jersey, New York, I don't know about Michigan, but they would pay $5,000 or $6,000 to create a trust like I would create for them. And we have flat fee for $7.95, so they pay me $7.95 and use the other $4,000 for their vacation in Florida. So I don't
know. The biggest problem I have is finding a trustee. I mean, my friends are my friends, and I love them all, but some of them have no more interest than the game is on, and I got a beer in my hand. They have no interest in business or.
Well, we can discuss your choices on who that would be. It could be a corporate trustee. It could be your CPA. It could be an attorney that does documents. Like, we serve as trustee for people once we discuss all of their choices. So, but you could have a corporate trustee as well. It's just a choice on who you want.
Okay, once again, I love your show.
Well, hey, I look forward to meeting you. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Kevin in Lakeland.
My question is about when you call probate, and then I was told that that the person might have a Medicaid lien or something.
Well, if they were in a nursing home and they died and they were on Medicaid, yes. So the Medicaid folks have to be notified of the estate being started.
Yeah, and it seems to be kind of one of these classic government things where there's no one to call, there's no person to call, there's the attorney just, you know, it's just like throwing confetti in the air and whatever falls. I mean, it's he says he's going to negotiate. I said, well, what's their number? Who is it? What's the, no, there's no information.
No, there's a number to call to negotiate. So you have an attorney already started the probate proceeding?
Yes, but I was never told about the Medicaid thing before because we have a quick claim deed. It's just.
Are you the personal representative?
No.
Okay. Well, and that's good in a way because if you were and the personal representative has retained an attorney, I really couldn't talk to you. But if you're just a beneficiary, I can.
Right.
Okay.
The situation is the quitclaim deed is in the storage room in California, and they said, "Oh, just file probate. There's only two children involved anyway." And now, oh, this Medicaid thing comes up.
Is the property in a trust?
No, there's nothing.
The quitclaim deed.
Excuse me. No, the quitclaim deed was never filed.
And what did the quitclaim deed do? And I only have 30 seconds here, so.
But just a notarized quitclaim deed. I mean, I guess you're telling me
the deceased to the beneficiaries?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, if that was required, that would. And was that homestead?
It was not homesteaded, no.
Okay, because homestead's an exempt asset from Medicaid. Well, I think the probate could be withdrawn if the probate lien has already been filed. That's going to be an issue the personal representative and the attorney are going to have to deal with.
How harsh are they about those type of things?
No, if it's a valid lien, they're going to have to satisfy them that there's no probate necessary and the quitclaim deed wasn't recorded for whatever reason they can come up with and they transferred the property at an earlier date. Maybe even before the Medicaid, but that would have created a 5-year look. It's a mess, believe it or not. So
yeah,
I need a lot more time, and I'm really out of time right now. So I've got to
run
jump off.
Medicaid. Okay, thank you, Joe.
All right, thank you. All right, there's the music. Got to go. Hey, Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year, and hope you're safe and enjoy the holidays immensely. And be safe out there, Attorney Joe Pippin. So long.